And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And that was a pretty difficult game to watch.
Yeah, look, it was really disappointing. And I think with hindsight, you know, I actually had a nightmare during the week after our podcast, which was far too optimistic.
Far too optimistic, yep.
That I literally thought that I had a dream where I got so worried about being too optimistic that I went back and deleted last week's podcast from the internet. Which, and so you panicked by when, Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday, Saturday morning, I changed my tip and it helped me win $40 in the office tipping competition.
Yeah, look, so...
Feels like blood money.
Yeah, you know, sort of with hindsight, I had this slight... I dismissed how they ran us close last year because it was in round 23 and I thought weren't really trying.
And have had the wood on us for a while, including Bond. And they mentioned on the broadcast, Bontempelli just kills us. And he did again.
Oh, yeah, the battles of the number four was not a battle. It was a lay down. But... I also sort of, I had this weird theory that in hindsight it was stupid, is that the sort of the 2018 Richmond and we don't lose to underdogs. That, you know, the last underdog loss we had was St Kilda in 2017, which was, I think, an asterisk game where potentially we all had gastrics. But, yeah, we got smoked. And, like, when you get smoked when you're relatively optimistic beforehand, it's really depressing, isn't it?
It is really depressing. I mean, there were some mitigating factors, like Dan Rioli was clearly running on about half capacity after he got the big knock in the first quarter. Vlossi copped an ankle in the first quarter. Look, he's not the fastest runner at the best of times. And, you know, he'll have to pass the fitness test to play this week.
But yeah, there was actually a moment in the game, because he had plus 20 possessions, but there was a moment in the game where he was standing on the mark and his opponent just shaked and baked him, went straight around him and kicked one of the key goals to sort of kill what little chance we did have of a comeback. So it was just like he was clearly addled by the injury, and, you know, on Rioli, you know, didn't have a great game, looked like he was injured coming into it.
And then was clearly injured.
Yeah, appeared to maybe potentially exacerbate the same injury. And, you know, by the end of it, I just felt like, oh, just give him a few weeks off. This is painful to watch.
Anyway. I know. And look, you know that I'd, as much as we talk about selection, that, you know, when you look at how betting lines do and don't move when players are, one player's selected ahead of another, you know, it's only the top players who really move betting lines at all. Yeah, I think we got it wrong. Menadue ahead of Garthwaite just didn't work out well. And we still would have lost, but maybe we would have been able to stem the bleeding a bit better.
Yeah, and look, you never know. Like, I agree. We didn't say this publicly, but I said I didn't mind the selection to you in private. But yeah, I was wrong. More importantly, the Richmond selection panel was wrong, and I think it would have changed the complexion of the game. Like, just, you know, rewatching the Bulldogs' goals, you know, there's just so many marks being taken, and Garthwaite wouldn't have taken them all, but you would have rather had him there than Menadue, as you said.
Yeah. And look, he played a really good game in the VFL, so I think he's finally catching up to his preseason. The other, look, for a positive, one positive, and I think we've got a few, but...
So there's a couple of very obvious ones.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to them, but talking about selection, Shai Bolton came in, and I thought he played one of his better games.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, you could clearly see the advanced AFL ratings really liked his game, had him in the upper half.
They do like a half forward.
They like creative half forwards. For instance, they don't like George, who we'll come to in a second.
Well, but, you know, that is not a lonely place to be.
No. Been on the other side of that argument, it's getting increasingly lonely. But, you know, I know Bolton played great quarters before, and we have literally had this exact conversation on the podcast, but he had 8 touches in the last quarter, and you just think, well, what could... You know, if you can have 8 touches in a quarter, what happens when he, you know, has 8 in one quarter and 5 in all the others? Like, suddenly he's, well, 23, it's not... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, the flash of brilliance indicates a potential to do that over, if he does it over 4 quarters, that he could be truly special.
Yeah, I think he's worth persisting with.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he went at 82%, by the way.
Yeah, which is also a big number when you're attempting some pretty tough kicks inside the forward line.
Like dropping him for Jake Arts is like playing for 9.
Yeah, look, I reckon selection's pretty easy this week, but we'll get to that. So, look, we've mentioned one positive. There was we had two first-year players kick their first goal. Oh, no, sorry. One first-year player kicked their first goal, and as well as a couple of goals from some other first-year players. But I thought, as a lovely piece of work as Jack Ross's goal was, I thought he did get beaten on the night. But also that the sort of the composure and the talent that why we like him so much, that was there as well.
Yeah, I think that's much more a game you expect from a talented young kid. Like you can't expect the 28 possession games all the time. But the sort of, you know, that was very, like, you might recall he also set up the first goal, well, the goal of the game, to McIntosh. And he had a beautiful shake and bake. Actually made Dusty look really good by gathering up his hat kick and turning it into a beautiful centering ball and the running goal. Like these are the flashes of goodness you expect in between inconsistent efforts among form talented young midfielders, and sort of his 15 possessions is much more what is reasonable to expect of him at this stage of his career.
Yep. He's going at 76%, which is a really high number for an inside midfielder. Like, that sort of, 5 to 10% higher than what's normal at that position.
Second highest pressure points for the team as well, behind Prestia.
Yep.
If we're going to talk positives, Dion Prestia, over the last 4 games in the AFL... is ranked in the top 10 in the AFL by the AFL rankings.
Yeah, he's been working pretty hard, which is good because the rest of the side hasn't been all that consistent around him. But yeah, he's been solid.
He's been solid. I mean, in fairness, our whole midfield got smoked. But I just wanted to pay a little bit of doff the cap to Dion.
So we've gone more than 8 minutes without talking about Sydney Stack.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess we had to fill in the podcast a bit before we got to the one really positive thing.
Oh, look, he had did he have 2 of the most exciting moments of the game? He didn't have the most exciting moment of the game because we'll get to that later. But so he's completely laid out somebody again, much to, I think, every Richmond supporter's joy. He's banged a big goal. Yeah, and the composure is all there.
And he uses the ball fantastically. He was a top-rated player on many rankings, but on the AFL ranking, there were 8 of the 8 top players, 7 of them were Bulldogs, but nestled in the middle of them was Sydney Stack.
Yep. I'm sometimes sceptical of the AFL ratings, and
it's high variance. It's much better over multiple games than single games.
Yeah, they put a thing out today that listed, when you adjust for age and position, that Sydney Stack is the number 1 young player in the AFL.
Well, you know, that's sort of like that. That's you've made so many adjustments there. It's like it's a cool stat, but it's not,
a cool stat.
You can't take it too seriously.
No, like I'd still trade him for Sam Walsh.
Yeah, but we don't have Sam Walsh, but we got Sydney Stack, and
which is pretty awesome.
And he's like, it's funny. The thing is, okay, so we've already implied a bit that Connor wasn't great. Also, actually, not terrible on the offensive line.
Manager was fine.
The problem with the offensively, defensively, he was. The problem with the current team is not necessarily like the bottom six or seven guys is playing as well as you can possibly hope. The problem with the current Richmond team.
I thought we said that we weren't happy about George.
Well, we'll come back to him. But like, if George is your problem, like George has always been the problem. Like, you know, you have Sydney Stack coming in playing really well. You know, you have the rookies coming in and play really well. Like, the depth is really good. The problem we have at the moment is our top end's missing.
Yeah, I mean, mostly literally missing, but in a few cases, just not performing as well. There's talk Lynch is pretty sore, and yeah, he's not moving as well as he did a bit earlier in the season. I mean, all the criticism of him, it's like, God, what have you done for me lately? He was close to best on ground in our best win of the year less than a month ago.
He has had a few quiet games in a row.
He's had a couple of quiet games in a row, but yeah, I think it's a bit over the top. Well, and maybe that's big club, big contract. That's the scrutiny that comes with it. I don't think we did.
Yeah, I was actually wondering. Do you think, like, he would have at the Gold Coast? He probably had, you know, all key forwards have cold spurts. You know, he probably had a stage where he went four games without doing a thing with the Gold Coast, and it never got mentioned once on AFL 360. And you know, suddenly in Richmond, you have big Melbourne club, you're on a big salary, two to three not very good games, and you're one of the sort of three or four dominant narratives of the week.
Yep. And look, I'm sure he's gone whole weeks at a time without anybody stopping him in the street as well, and I don't think that happens anymore.
No. I just want to know if there's any update of what Stephen Mayne's doing in the Richmond pub on a Sunday afternoon. I'm all for that. Do you think they have a Gold Coast support group for, like, dealing with relevance?
I know. Yeah, Caddy wasn't great either. He missed a shot at goal. He never misses a shot at goal.
No, he kicked one really nice one.
Yeah, he did.
But he actually hasn't been... He hasn't been... He's been one... Because, you know, I'm a big Josh Caddy fan.
Yeah.
He has notably not stepped up since... his first game coming back was great, and you know, it was great, and like he's building in. Okay, now he's built into the season, and he's still a complimentary player. He hasn't taken his game up another level.
Really stepped up. No, that's a bit frustrating.
I think he misses Jack.
Yeah, I agree, and I think the chemistry of how everyone works together isn't quite there. And the delivery into the forward line was pretty frustrating as well.
Yeah, like, I mean, we don't want to park on the negative too much, but, you know, Shane Edwards has been so instrumental for the last 3 years, even longer, as a creator, and he had 12 touches.
Mm. Yep. Yeah, I think the Bulldogs put a fair bit more work into Liam Baker as well this week.
But he was still really good.
Yeah, he was still good. He still got shrugged a few times going for tackles. But no, he was still good.
That's one of those things, like, you know, it's clearly one of those things when you watch tape, it's you can't unsee it. Like, I've noticed, you really notice it when you watch games. You know, over the last four games, he's rated higher than Dusty.
Yeah.
Dusty, only by one position.
Yeah. Dusty was pretty good. He wasn't great, but he was pretty good.
He was okay, but... You know, are you judging him by Dusty standards or are you judging him by Josh Caddy standards? If that was Josh Caddy's game, it'd be great.
Yeah, we'd be losing our mind if that was Josh Caddy.
Well, we lost by 40 points. It's hard to lose your mind, but yeah.
Well, he's had 12 contested disposals. He's over 400 metres gained. He's pretty high in score involvement. It's a pretty good game for most people, but not him.
The thing that worries me is not that game individually, is the average of his games now for the whole season is pretty uninspiring. But, you know, I'll let the professional media overreact on Dusty. But that actually, that was one of my most depressing things, is I'm just waiting for the magic Dusty game, and the longer it goes without having one, the more I worry about that there's something systematically wrong. It's not just, you know, we all have bad, you know, all players have down form periods, but we can only just hope that next week it'll change. Okay, Nick, wanted to ask George.
Yep.
George is one of the most interesting players amongst the people who I you know, hardcore Richmond fans whose opinions I respect. You know, there's some people who always stick up for the players wearing the yellow and black, and I'm absolutely fine with them. And you know, they're always going to support the back end, but there are people who I know aren't like that, who turn on players I don't like, who still are really in the camp, George camp. But there are other people whose opinion I really respect who just never want him to see play for the Tigers again.
I know. I watched a game last year with a friend of the podcast, Ryan, last year, and yeah, literally two people in front of us got in a yelling match about I think it was about George. It was either George or Butler, but yeah, one of them was really having a go, and the other guy arced up and in their defence. Yeah, it's a divisive issue. Like, he was one of our, you know, he had more shots than any other Richmond forward last week, and he's just run around and done very little this week. And I know that that's inherent to the position, that it's a hard, it's the hardest position to be consistent in. It doesn't make it easier sometimes.
No, I mean, it's, well, I guess the key, would you drop him now?
If you're really convinced about who you are replacing him with and their role in the team, maybe. I think, probably not, but I think as people come back into the team and we need to find spots for guys, and not, you know, while recognising that some of the younger guys have really stepped up and, yeah, making a difference. So, I don't know. I think about it.
You look at his last 3 years, actually his possession count is up. And a lot of his basic stats, even his advanced stats, are pretty much consistent or even marginally better, like tackles. The one thing is, Nick, one of your favorites, he's kicked 4-7.
Yeah.
And, you know, in 18 and 17, he did actually kick more goals than points. Not by a lot.
Not by a lot, no.
But, yeah, being behind on the ledger, it does kill you a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, and he doesn't have a lot of leeway. I just think he's in that sort of 15 to 22 spot on the list, and he can't take things for granted. Although, look, the evidence is that he's sort of got credits in the bank, some credits. Like, I think we would have dropped him a few times already, but yeah,
definitely a divisive one. But maybe it is time to try something different, because you know, I think there's a bit of a, maybe there are some players who are better compliments to Jack than to Lynch.
True. He was 18th in votes per game in the best and fairest last year. So yeah, he's kind of fringe.
Career 11% 11 disposal gameplay.
Speaking of clangers, if you did clangers per disposal in the AFL, Noah Bolter would have more than anyone else by a considerable margin. He is so up and down.
That missed kick.
Oh.
That missed mark, sorry.
The missed chest mark, yeah.
Yeah.
That was bad. Looking, he lost his man a couple of times playing key back. And yet, that goal was freaking exciting. And as I mentioned on the commentary, He has the highest top speed, equal highest top speed of anyone in the AFL this year.
Yeah, recorded. Yeah.
Well, they record. I think they pretty much record every game. So that's
yeah, they do. It's GPS data. I'm just quite a stat. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, there is a thing. We saw it on the goal. It'd probably be good if we saw it a bit more in general.
I'm firmly convinced that he is actually... He is best when either he's in an intercepting role for balls coming out of our forward 50, or I just thought, actually, it reminded me of Richo sometimes.
Yes. I had a very Richo vibe. I thought he was going to miss that shot.
But you'd kick it over Richo's head, and he and his man would turn around, and Richo would smoke him by 5 to 10 metres. Cordy's not slow, and yeah, he wasn't catching him, despite two bounces. Like it was a pretty stunning bit of work athletically.
Yeah, and I was absolutely stoked when he actually kicked it too.
I don't know. I think you've got to keep him in the team. It's such a roller coaster ride, but the talent is so obvious. And yeah, I don't know. It's tougher when we're at full strength. But right now, yeah, he hurts you sometimes. But yeah, he has these stunning moments where he impacts the game as well. And I just feel like the right thing to do is to invest in the talent.
Yeah, and also it helps slightly. It helps reduce the flogging that Nank is taking.
Hmm. Yep.
And
there's not anyone obviously pushing through in the reserves as a key position player or a key position forward. So yeah.
And I just want to say, Jack Higgins, even though he had a pretty mediocre game, is coming off the back of two consecutive 25 possession games. So, and he's getting plenty of contested ball, particularly last week. So it wasn't a great game, but he hasn't fallen apart.
Yep. Anyone else from the seniors?
No, actually, that was remarkably a positive review, considering it was a really depressing game. And
it was a depressing game.
Through we weren't there. I heard from two separate people that it was worse live.
Well, it was at Marvel Stadium, which it's got good sight lines, but everything else about the experience does nothing for me.
Yep.
Mm.
Fair fault.
At the other end of the atmosphere and history spectrum is the Williamstown Oval, which I think must also come close to being the windiest oval in certainly in the VFL. But we won there for the first time in more than a century in the VFL.
Yeah, it's great. Wasn't the most dynamic scoreline, but
no, not at all. But We've talked before about how encouraging the performance of the VFL is, given they've lost a lot of senior players.
Yeah.
And the lengthy injury list, and they keep winning, and it's being led by younger players. Patrick Naish, played well. He's second in the VFL for kicks when you consider that he's also a very good kick. That's a good combination. And he's winning some contested ball, which is not a noted feature of his game.
Yeah, and that was the big quote. Like, he had 10 on the weekend, and that's why he went in we were able to get him in the second round, is that kids who don't win contested ball in juniors often don't make it to the seniors. There's a long history of them. And he is developing the weak side of his game. They said... it was in Coach's Corner this week, and they were mentioning that he put on 7 kilos of muscle in the off season. That's a lot for a second year player.
Yeah, and he's still skinny.
Yeah, he's not coming off a lot, so yeah. But I'm getting super high on Patrick Naish.
I know. I have come a long way on Derek Egamosley Smith as well, because I know he's come from a long way back. He was a category B rookie at the end of 2017, which means he's gone through an entire draft without getting picked. Last year he's been injured most of the year and only played a couple of VFL games. So, you know, he was okay as a junior in the TAC Cup, and he's come out and he's had a really good start to his season.
Looking very very AFL-y.
Yeah, like poor man's Sydney Stack. Yeah, wasn't expecting it, but really pleased to see it. At the other end of the spectrum, our first round draft pick, Riley Collier Dawkins, he's also playing okay.
Well, he's the interesting one because he's doing a few things really well. The inside contested ball,
which is his game. He's far from a complete footballer at this stage.
Yeah, but you sort of wonder, well, if you do a couple of things really well, do you start to think, do I give him a crack in the seniors? Because you know how you're going to use him.
Well, he's made emergency for the Bulldogs game, which we've mentioned before is always a good sign that he's close to senior selection. He's had 7 clearances, which is a big number, and actually bigger than he had in any game in the TAC Cup last year. And coaches enjoyed his defensive work, so yeah, I don't think he's a mile away.
No, absolutely not. And Soldo continues to ruck competently. Him and CCJ did over the Willie Ruckman, so yeah. That was all good.
Both Butler and Jake Arts kicked 3 goals. Butler, I think if Rioli can't play, I think that seems a pretty obvious like-for-like.
Yeah, he was actually. Didn't he rate? Wasn't he close to BOG in the coaches' votes?
Yep.
I think maybe he's done his time in purgatory now.
Yeah. Fraser Turner, I'm keeping an eye on. He's also going okay. Ben Miller, who I thought, you know, he didn't have a good year last year. He's had a really patchy start to the season. He probably played his best game for the club.
Yeah, made the best. And Garth was rated quite highly, according to the coaches' wrap-up. And as you've already mentioned, makes a lot of sense to play this week.
Yep. Well, depending if Astri can't come up, he's an obvious in, because Fremantle are big in offence. Before we get to Fremantle, just mention as well, the VFLW team wrapped up their pre-season pretty successful, I think only one loss. They've got their first game against Darabin Falcons this week. What I haven't been able to work out is who of the AFLW signings are going to be playing with the VFLW team, because there's not a one-to-one relationship. Certainly some of the more fringier players are, but I don't know which of the really high-profile guns, if any of those, are going to be playing for the VFL team.
Yes, the ongoing... I think you need a PhD in sports management to understand what's happening in the AFLW.
Yeah, God bless it.
The Occam's reason is definitely not how the AFL applies it. So okay. But good luck to them. Fremantle.
Yeah. So they... It's a really unusual situation. I think it's happened less than... I saw on Twitter today, it's happened less than 10 times in AFL history that the same team has both the highest score of the season and the lowest score of the season.
I actually looked them up, that we and them are 8th and 9th on the AFL ladder for scoring, which has surprised me, because you always look at the Fremantle box score and it's always Carrick.
Yeah, look, I saw them play against, I saw both the game against the Giants and the game against the Crows, and you wouldn't have thought that the same team played those two games. The Crows game made me want to gouge my eyes out.
Yeah.
It was just terrible. But the Giants game, Marnock is quite a big surface, you know, perfect sunny afternoon conditions. They've got a big forward line, and it was firing that day, and they looked good. You know, the midfield with led by Fife, Sean Darcy's a good young ruckman. David Mundy is having a late career peak.
Yeah, it is.
The their defenders are sort of pretty unheralded, but Alex Pearce particularly, he can play. Joel Hambling's not bad either, and they're big in the forward line with Hogan and Tabernar and McCarthy. So yeah, when they're playing well, they're not easy to beat. But they're also capable of playing some remarkably stodgy football. It's a weird.
They're hard to read. Yeah. Rory Lobb, by the way, is playing quite well.
Yeah, so they're a really big team. They'll be much bigger than us. I don't know. Weekend, we were favourites, and now we are slight underdogs.
Yeah, and it's like going back to how I started the podcast about how it's really disappointing when you win when you expect to lose, and I've completely overreacted. I've lost all confidence. I think we're going to get done, and it's like. I suspect it's just it's recency bias and an over emotional reaction. Mm. But you know, that's a prerogative of supporters. But it does feel. I mean, I am nervous.
Yeah, very much so.
Well, we haven't actually, Nick. We've sort of circled around the are we worried about Rhys Conker issue?
I love Rhys Conker. I'm not worried about Rhys Conker.
Yeah, do you think in future years they'll name this game after him?
I really like the idea. I liked how the players got out to Sammy Lloyd before the game and after the game, and yeah, I just really want him to be unhappy at the end of the game while also pleased to see his old Tiger comrades.
So he was actually Sammy Lloyd was the Bulldogs' worst rated player on the weekend, even though he had a couple of nice highlights which we all saw, but didn't have a great all round game, but wish him the best. So Rhys Conker, yep.
So how
has not made a
he's pretty much are you?
So I was just going to say, Rhys Conker, he's pretty much, by the ratings, almost exactly the player he was in 2018 in Richmond.
Yeah.
Which is currently the 375th best in the AFL.
Oh, bless. What's your level of confidence?
Pretty low. Like, I'm quite nervous. Confidence is shot. Worried about all the injuries. I hate losing Rioli. Rioli and Vlossi have been two who've really stepped up and helped us during when all the injuries, and now they're both injured themselves. Who knows whether Asprey's coming back. Lynch is a worry. Doom.
I feel very much the same, and also I feel quite reassured to be back in this space. I'm far more comfortable with it.
I know the win will be a pleasant surprise.
It's like coming home.
It is. And you know what? Like, I know it was a different game plan, but Demo's pulled out some cracking upset wins in Western Australia.
Yeah.
It hasn't been lately, but I have a bit of hope. And we flogged them last year. Now, I know they're completely different teams, but yeah, in the level of play that they're at. But yeah. So it's not all. I think the doom and gloom is comforting, and maybe not entirely. It's maybe not quite. We're probably slightly more pessimistic than is justified. I mean, where would you put the point spread if it was you?
Oh, 10. I think it's like 3 or something.
But yeah, I put it around 15, and that's emotionally, and I think perhaps we're overreacting, but. It's certainly, we are definitely in uncharted waters with such high turnover in our team, and it's not actually, if you look at the last 4 games, it's not a very clear form line.
No, and I feel like we were such a settled team last year, and we thought, I think the line's out to 5.5, but yeah, we were such a settled team, and it's sort of what we didn't do well felt much more predictable than it does now.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
I mean, but it's also exciting. as well in some ways, but yeah. Oh, look,
Open-minded.
Yep. I just want us to give it a really good crack. I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tigers.
A celebration of all good things Richmond right now.
Come from nowhere.
Alex Rance.
He's never not going to go, was he? Was he?
Pick up from Cotchin. Left off snap.
Built something fantastic and we just got to keep riding away.
You're going to go in the premiership, Jack. Jack, you're going to be a premiership player.
Oh, mate, I'm playing trouble. Why don't play the game?
We're from Tiger Land. A fighting field in Tiger Land.
Richmond can't get there for 20
years. See us with the win. Risking head and skin. If we're behind them, never mind. We'll fight it, fight it. We're from Tiger Land. We never weep until the final siren's gone. Like the tiger of old, we're strong and we're bold. For we're from Tiger, yellow and black. We're from Tigerland.
D. Martin, 3 votes.